That's right. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. It is time for the wake-up call, 404-726-0929. You can tell us who needs a wake-up call. Maybe it's Michael for trying to project his musical taste on myself and Bo Stradamus over here.
I'm not sure why, I just called astray.
Who's
coming off which one Wednesday?
You probably deserved
it. Falcons position groups. We got to talk about Josh Kendall's article on The Athletic, ranking the position groups from the least concerned to what he's most concerned with. And these guys gave their thoughts on that as well.
I had a Wednesday question. I was probably going to be a little bit too deep.
Are you
going to
celebrate
segment.
My victory?
But here's what it is. And I was going to say, who finishes with more points on the season next year? The combination of Zachary Risacher and Bogey Bogdanovich or LeBron and his son? Risacher and Bogey. Or LeBron and his son. And I was going to say which one. I was like, you know what, though? Y'all be over there trying to Google, trying to see point totals. What do you expect in a reason? I was like, whatever. We'll just push it to the back burner. But that was one of the questions. I also had, who's going to have a better second half, Ronaldo Lopez or Matt Olson?
Matt Olson.
Maybe.
I think it would be important if Matt Olson had a better second half, honestly.
It'd be great.
I have to give myself a wake-up call because a friend of the show, Denzel, he did tell me when we were discussing which Braves were going to have a great season, he said to pick Jesse Chavez. And I don't know if I did or not then. I think I may have. But he's basically been blowing me up, telling me he better get his shout-out. So that's your shout-out.
He said, Denzel was like, hey, you should listen.
Denzel picked a bad morning to do it since he gave up a home run last
week. Tater.
All right, let's go.
Denzel. The more I hear about Denzel, I like him more, but then again, I understand more.
Friend of the tiff.
We're going to the lines. He's on the Euro trip, by the way. Let's go to Tinker. Good morning, Tinker. What's going on?
What's up, buddy?
Good morning.
Hey, man.
Oh, Squid's got me fired up for the holidays after the Mike's given the questions, because after every question Mike gave, Squid had the greatest answer after every single one, and that was the cold beer.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, yeah. But my wake-up call. I'm going to have plenty of it later. My wake-up call is to any red-blooded American out there that hasn't seen these two videos, and if you haven't, give yourself a chance to watch them. And that's Michael Winslow playing the national anthem dressed as Jimi Hendrix. And the second one is Red Skelton's. In the video, he defines each word in the Pledge of Allegiance. And I tell you, by the time he's done, the hairs on your arm will stand up. And at the end of the video, he gives, it's kind of weird what he says at the end, but you got to check that out when you get a chance.
All right.
Yeah, have a good one.
Red Skelton Pledge of Allegiance right now, I guess is what I need to do.
Do you know who Michael Winslow is, right? He's the guy from Police Academy that does all the voices.
Oh, yeah.
And he's it's not just voices, it's sounds, it's noises. He's amazing.
He can throw his voice, right?
He is he's amazing. Yeah. He's an amazing talent. Red Skelton is an old school comedian. He also would do paintings and stuff, so yeah. That's a throwback.
Good call from Tinker. I'm Googling as we speak, man. You got busy fingers. Good call.
Let's go to David in Cumming. Good morning.
What's up, David?
Hey, good morning, y'all. How are y'all doing?
I can't complain, buddy.
All right. Well, first, I want to give a shout out to Mike's Mafia.
Oh, sit down.
Because you know Rover.
Tired
Rover
of this,
holding it down.
My man.
But so my shout or my wake up call is going to be to select few Atlanta drivers around here. So my wake up call is that, please, if you want to drive 10 miles under the speed limit, get in the right lane. Mm. Mm. Don't be taking up the left lane. Mm. Please. I mean, I'm not advocating for speeding, but I think I've been around long enough to know that speed limit is a suggestion to most people. But please, move over to the right lane.
I will agree with this because there have been some mornings that I have watched someone going slow merge all the way over just to get to the left side.
To continue to go slow.
Yes. Make it make sense.
Yeah. I think, David, I don't think David was advocating for speeding. I think he was advocating for safe driving, which is not safe driving when you go the speed limit in the lane that most people want to speed in. Also, when we got in, Tiff, you know how you go through customs, you go through the baggage carousel, and you get your bags, and then they have the sniffing dogs that smell, and they have police officers there. One cop decided, because people don't know how to kind of take a line and go into from 3 to 4 wide and go into single file, and the cop decides to go, just treat it like you're merging on the highway. Mm-hmm. And I looked over to him and I said,
the zipper technique.
I looked there and I said, wow, you really picked the wrong city to use the merge technique. He goes, and he's an Atlanta cop. He goes, yeah, probably right on that one. I'm like, yeah.
Two things here. I did uncover a new driving pet peeve of mine the other day. I had a guy. I'm coming, just going 45 or 50 down the Roswell Road, right? Somebody pulls out in front of me, doesn't even check up at the stop sign they're pulling out, just pulls out in front of me. But even worse than that, like, don't pull out in front of me. But don't pull out in front of me if you're going to go 10 miles an hour under speed limit.
Exactly.
Like, dude, like, okay, you're going to be a daredevil at the stop sign, but you're going to be driving Miss Daisy as soon as you get on the straightaway. Like, I have an absolute massive issue with that. Also, I had that same conversation, David, with Bo last night. I was like, if you're going to go 10 miles an hour slower than everybody on the simulator, please step off to the right of the racetrack we're racing on last night.
Well, my car was damaged when I hit the wall. Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry.
Because you were parked in the middle of the track, my car then became damaged because I had to hit the wall avoiding
you. No, I wasn't parked. I was reversed.
Also, if you were already in the fast lane and you were going fast and someone wants to go astronomically faster than what you are going, do not ride that person's butt because they are already speeding. Give them time to get out of your way. There's a polite way to do things.
If you want to go 100, it's not my job to get out of your way fast enough for you to blow past me. I completely agree.
Yeah. Trash move.
See what happened? I was in reverse. I missed the pits.
You know what? Let's go to Squidvillian. Good morning.
Morning, everybody. Morning, Elder Squid.
Sir.
Hey, Mike. What? You pipe.
What? I didn't do anything. What are you talking about?
Hold on. Sir, how are we doing today?
Doing well. Two quick things. First of all, wake-up call for Aaron Rodgers. Look, I would be fine with him doing this, going to Egypt during camp and all that, if he was still with the Packers, like, because he knew the core offense knew him. It's like Rodman going to Las Vegas for 4 days before a game. Jordan knew he would show up. Like, that was known, and it was fine. But the NFL is still what have you done for me lately league, and he hasn't done anything for the Jets yet. And the core offense of the Jets doesn't know him yet. He doesn't know the core offense yet. So I still have a problem with it because he's on a new team for him. He's only played 4 games, so he needs the reps. And I assume that he just assumed. Like, I don't think he went to any of his teammates. Like, hey, you cool with me going and leaving? Like, he just did it because he knew that he could get away with it. Second thing, I'll credit where credit is due. Tiffany, good win. I would have given you the win because, you know, we're good people in the nation. We're impartial. So you got the win today. I do have a problem with – this is my one problem with which one Wednesday, mm-hmm. is if Bo and Tiffany agree, like, that point kind of goes to the first person. Yeah. The second person is just going to be like, yeah, ditto. But they can't really get the point for a reason that's the same. And it's just kind of a flaw in the game itself.
I appreciate you listening. I appreciate you congratulating me on my victory. I do slightly disagree, though, with the agreement point. And so my take on that is it's about who sells it better.
Yeah, that's it. So it's a debate forum. Anybody's ever seen a debate team? They have those all over high schools in Georgia. You can agree, but you have to have the reasoning behind it. Yeah. Bo didn't hammer it home today.
Oh, that was a phenomenal call. Well, I mean, I can't hammer home when Tiffany tells me how great I am. What am I supposed to say?
Honestly, but that was like her checkmate moment.
I mean,
you know what I mean? She was like, checkmate, I'm about to get you right here.
I agree. I'm great. Thank you.
What?
I mean, what do I say?
I didn't go that far.
Well, you kind of did.
This week, Tiff, that's kind of been a theme. I'll be honest with you.
Come on.
You've been buttered up. I don't know what it is.
What?
Hold on.
You've been very friendly to Bo.
You know what it proves to me is that Tiffany missed me when she got stuck with you for a week.
I actually agree with you.
What?
I actually agree with you.
That's not true.
It was like she wanted somebody. When she saw you, she was like, God, I want to hug him so bad. I missed him so much. But you know what I mean? I'll keep it, you know, look.
Projectile vomit.
She definitely missed
you. I know that part's a lie because of the way he, the words he's saying. But I'm sure once you got through, like, maybe like to Tuesday morning, you're like,
Dang.
I need Squid back.
Dang.
Yeah. What? You think, Mike, you always think the worst, you know?
I think the worst.
When it comes to who's missing the show and stuff. That's what I mean. I'm the most positive.
You're second most positive, Mike. I will give you that.
You are definitely not the most positive. Mike,
somebody
is the most,
cut these people off.
Mike is the most... Oh, we gotta go.
What world am I living in?
Mike, you're the most positive. I was just making a point. When it comes to people missing the show and stuff,
please
Mike
don't.
Would be like, oh, you guys probably had a better time without me. Like, we never come back and say that, do we?
No, well, maybe once I did, but...
I don't. You're probably like glad, like the witch is... Ding dong, the witch is dead. She's not here. Braves, Giants. We'll give you our thoughts on tonight's matchup. Stay with us here on The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back here on The Morning Shift.
Hey, before we hit the Braves in just a second, I was just out there in the bullpen talking to Rusty Mansell. Yeah, well, who's this?
This is Adele.
Okay.
Rumor has it.
Speaking of Rich Paul, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I was just talking to Rusty. We were talking about, watching SportsCenter 15, 20 years ago. And it was so nostalgic for me. I was telling him, I used to have a plasma television, you had to have the screensavers. Well, I had SportsCenter on so often, like 20 years ago, like probably at the end of college, that like the ESPN bottom line was burned into my plasma TV. Like even when I like changed it, you could still see ESPN's bottom line but I was just like, he's bringing up such a good point, man. Those 20 years ago, watching SportsCenter just ran all night and had the best personalities.
Gosh.
And man, it was so good.
Like I'm watching Chris McKendry do the Wimbledon. She was my favorite.
Yeah,
and so I used to know what time of day it was by who was anchoring SportsCenter.
You just go all the way back to the Dan Patrick, Stuart Scott era when we had Berman on from time to time. It was just nostalgic to have that conversation with Rusty out there.
Just makes you think of just how much the landscape has changed.
Yeah, Rusty brought that up. He goes, now then it got to an era where you had to turn it to ESPN2 to catch that kind of all night SportsCenter thing, and now it's kind of hit or miss because of the way that media has changed and evolved.
They put on game replays these days at like 4 a.m. and you can't get you lose out on SportsCenter for a couple hours on the main ESPN. Even on the app, you have to search.
Yeah, but then you'll find
it.
SportsCenter LA, in LA will be like that's what was on for me this morning.
And I don't blame him because listen, you consume video of news differently. You know, it's always popping up. You got push notifications and 20-second clips and whatever it is, kind of in your palm. So it is what it is. You got to pivot at some point. But
they've been kind of all these deals they're making for these TV contracts with, the ACC, the SEC, the Big Ten. Then you look at the NBA, Major League Baseball, the NFL, and they're taking money away from, what they used to be. And they just become, it's kind of like what happened with MTV. MTV, like, no longer ever, when was the last time a music video played on MTV?
Tell you the last time I watched MTV.
I
don't even know if I have MTV.
I wonder if we're going to, it's kind of a basic thing, but with most packages, but I wonder if you're going to get to the point where you don't get would SportsCenter ever go away? I don't think it will, but ESPN News used to be 24-hour news. Do they even play news on ESPN anymore? I mean, you can watch football game, you know, college football on ESPN News.
You know what else nostalgic? I was thinking about this the other day. I know that you probably watched the show RPM Tonight that was on ESPN2, and it had the two-night. Oh, man. And then you just have Baseball Tonight. Dude, oh, I can't even talk about it.
Baseball Tonight's still around. It just is only on, like, Sundays, I think.
Man, I just – the Sunday Night Baseball telecast you used to have with Joe Morgan and John – I can't remember John's name, but he's the Orioles guy. But, man, that was –
He was a Giants guy. It was appointment television.
Appointment television. Let's stick
with baseball then, because the Braves are back at it in Game 2 with the Giants tonight. They dropped Game 1 5-3 yesterday.
Yeah, let's. I want to open back up that conversation that I was talking about that I almost threw in which one Wednesday about who's going to have the better second half. Is it Ronaldo Lopez or Matt Olson? I think Ronaldo Lopez.
Well, what do you define a? Are you talking about
more impactful to the wins and losses of the team?
Well, Matt Olson's an everyday player, and is as much as we need Ronaldo Lopez to continue to do what he's doing. If Matt Olson can get some hits last night, they win the game. You know,
yeah.
Ronaldo Lopez. If Ronaldo Lopez gives me five innings with three earned runs, 5 to 6 innings with, give me a quality start or even close to it, which is six in innings and three earned runs. Then I think this team is in a good spot. The problem is, I'm saying that based on this offense producing more than it has, and it just hasn't been very good. And now it's in a dire situation, and it was comes to the conversation we talked about earlier. This isn't the – I don't want to people to say, well, this is a historic offense. No, it's not. It's not.
I said that earlier, and I said it was expected to be coming into the season. I think that's the exact verb. This was expected to be a historic
coming offense. Coming off of last year. Yeah.
But this is not even close to the offense that was on the field last year.
No.
Not
at this current point.
And when you have Jared Kelnick, Zach Short, and this is not a knock on Kelnick because I think he's been phenomenal, especially last month.
He's done everything he's been asked.
But Adam Duvall and Forrest Wall in the lineup. And, you know, take Kelnick out, that's not fair, but that was just really not the lineup. But when you had Duvall, Wall, and Zach Short, Sean Murphy has been okay. He hit a home run last night, but he still isn't warmed up.
He's trying to heat
up. He's nowhere near the player he was in the first half of last season. That is not the offense that we were sold. That, to me, has become the biggest move that needs to be made. I know Michael Harris will be back at some point, but I need another corner outfielder because I don't know right now if I can I can't depend on Adam Duvall to play every day and produce. He's just not doing it. You know,
what are they picking up 2 weeks before opening day and sign him back, or maybe 3 weeks
and he,
before
but he was,
day?
Yeah, but he was to his defense, he was only brought in here to platoon.
Yeah,
with Jared Kelnick, who at the time we were told couldn't hit left-handed pitching.
Well, there's a reason. Let's not have revisionist history. There's a reason they signed Adam Duvall
because he had a bad spring training.
Exactly.
But I also think I don't think it was an overreactionary move. I don't think you can never have enough hitters. I mean, I think that's been pretty freaking clear. You know, you can never have enough depth in a 162 game season. But the fact of the matter is. Because he's not an everyday player, and right now Adam Duvall is being asked to do that, and he's not that guy right now.
Are you more on board with my notion that you balked that 2 weeks ago, that the Braves need to start playing more small ball? They've got to start finding a way to manufacture runs. And you've seen it where you force Walls bunting now and doing all the other things. You still, moving runners over and getting runners in. That Jared Kelnick's at bat yesterday, runners on second, third, is a prime example. You get a ball to the outfield, and you've got a run on the board, and yet we strike out, and then you get a fly ball the next hitter, and you're out of luck.
I never said they shouldn't. I said they're not built to, and they're not. Primarily, when you're healthy, you're not built. When Forrest Wall is forced into play because Laureano, is out with his back issue, and Orlando has his tooth, then yeah, it's okay because Forrest Wall is a speed guy. He's built to play small ball. But when you have Michael Harris, Kelnick, Duvall, Mr. Tooth, all these guys, when they're healthy,
leave that man and his like, dental work alone.
They're not built that way.
Just like Roman, my dog just went through this. It is extremely painful. You know what I mean?
Look, I completely feel for Arcia.
I do too. But the bottom line is, it's not like he was some kind of offensive juggernaut before he had the tooth issue.
No, but last year he had pop in his bat.
And that's my problem with it. And look, I get where you're coming from, and you're saying this is not the lineup we were expected. It's not like the guys you're talking about were great when they were playing. I mean, Michael Harris wasn't doing much.
When Michael Harris pulled his hammy, he was on the best run he'd had all season. He was playing good. He was starting to fill the leadoff spot. But the best part about Michael Harris's injury is now you know you don't have to ask him to do something that he doesn't do as well as he does something else.
Comes right back and slots in at six or whatever you want him.
Move him down.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he should be around eight or nine, honestly, because I think it adds some depth to this lineup. And now you know Kelnick is comfortable. I think that's the bright spot in a bad situation. And also, when you spread the lineup out, I think it helps you. I think it helps the lineup more than it hurts it.
I want to give you guys some breaking news before we go to break. This coming from Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN. Free agent LeBron James has agreed to a 2-year, $104 million maximum deal to return to the Lakers. The deal includes player option and a no-trade clause.
I am shocked. I am absolutely shocked. I just cannot believe that LeBron decided to go back with the Lakers, because at no point did he ever factor the fact that his son was drafted by them that he would do this. At no point when he opted out he ever think he would be back
Rich
with the
Paul's
Lakers.
Like, we're going to opt out. All of a sudden, hey, he's a free agent. Oh, you might want to give Bronny guaranteed money. You might want to do that.
So LeBron's going to make $52 million over the next
Which is,
2 years.
Exactly
an average.
He was supposed to make, 51.8 or something before he opted out. So there
I cannot believe this.
This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer in your home today and start packing life up. Squid, and we also have a preview of Atlanta United, but what you got for us?
Yeah, the best version ever of Hard Knocks debuted last night.
Oh, wow.
Love
critically acclaimed
the off-season version of Hard Knocks. We'll talk about it next in the Life of Squid on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 99 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
That's right.
We got a Life of Squid on deck, but first, Atlanta United on the road taking on New England, and you could hear that right here on 92.9 The Game. Pre-game starts at 6:30, kickoff at 7:30 are Mike Conte and Jason Longshore both on the call. And on that note, we bring in our Garrett Chapman with us, our resident Atlanta United expert. That's what we're calling you now.
I'll take that.
Don't let Aiden hear that. He will get highly offended by that.
Thiago Almada expected to be on the move. The deal expected to be finalized for him to go to a Brazilian team. And so, Botafogo. And what would life be like now,
sad deal,
you know, without him?
It's going to be interesting. I mean, I want to see what the team really does look like without him. I mean, we've seen it a few times. And it's been a kind of a mixed bag. Jay Fortune, I mean, he's played pretty well in his absence at times. And then other times it's been, I mean, not so great. I mean, the beautiful thing about Thiago Almada, and we talked about this on the full-time report on Saturday night, he really is probably one of the best players to come through Atlanta United. I mean, that includes Joseph Martinez. That includes Miguel Almiron. That includes, I mean, all the best players that this club has seen. And Thiago Almada is right up there with the very best of them. And Mike Conte said he's the most talented player in this club's history. And like, whenever you lose somebody like that, it's going to hurt for a little while. I mean, It's going to be tough, but ultimately, like this match on or this match tonight is against a beatable opponent. The real litmus test is going to be on Saturday against Real Salt Lake.
To your point, G, I look at this team right now, and it's just interesting because you come into the year with Almada and Giakoumakis and Pineda's the head coach, and this is a team that's really kind of had to remake its image. I'm not sure. I mean, what's the image of this team? Are they counter strikers? Are they a quick attack? Are they? I don't even know what the identity of this team really is right now, other than Brooks Lennon's kind of the leader and the guy that gets the most minutes. I mean, that's kind of what it is right now.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Brooks Lennon's a great player. I mean, talk about an unsung hero of this team. Is he comes out every single match, and he just gives you the exact same performance every single match. But, look, I mean, identity of this team, I mean, like, this is still a strong possession-based team. It's a team that wants to get after you and score goals. They still create a lot of opportunities, and I don't think that's necessarily going to change too much, even in the absence of Thiago Almada and Yorgos Giakoumakis. But, I mean, it's interesting, to your point, Mike, this team came in here having scored 66 goals in 2023. They were a top-three team in terms of attacking play. Last year, this year, they're kind of an inverse too. Like, you know, like the defending has been very strong despite the fact that you've had five or six different center back pairings, you know, and this team is still very, very talented at just about every single position on the pitch. And I mean, that's a credit to Garth Lagerwey. It's a credit to what the team he's been able to put together. It's not all about one or two guys.
Obviously, Atlanta won't be favored tonight on the road, as most times they're not. But what are your expectations against New England?
Oh, to go get a win? I mean, or at least go get a road result. I mean, you've had this could be the fifth consecutive match under Rob Valentino that you go out and get a result. They're 2-0-2 under Valentino. And this is a New England team that had won four straight matches after having a dreadful first half of the season. They were at negative 17 goal differential still at this point. So, I mean, this is a team that you can beat, but they were a little banged up last week when they lost 5-1 to one of the best teams in MLS in Columbus Crew. I mean, this is a pretty talented team. Carlos Gil is one of the top central attacking midfielders in the league. So you got to take him out of this match. And ultimately, I think you can go up and get a result.
So what time tonight? Real quick.
6:30 pregame, 7:45 first kick.
All right. Let's
no one
hit
listens
it.
To me.
Let's hit it, Day-Day.
Well, it's time for a look back
into the mind of Squid Billy.
Hey, he might even talk sports.
This is the Life of Squid on the Morning Shift.
Brought to you by the W Sauce and Status Truck and Trailer Repair. Driven by excellence, building successful partnerships.
That's right. A little W sauce. They got a hot sauce out now. You can use it on, you know, maybe you decide you don't want ribs and you want wings instead. Use the hot
ribs,
sauce on that. Maybe
best.
You wake up tomorrow, you want a Bloody Mary mix. So you go over to WSauce.com. You get it Key West style. My friend Anthony at Status Truck and Trailer Repair. Big truck, small truck, medium-sized truck. You want a fifth wheel? They got you covered. They do fifth wheels, Michael. So we're going to...
Did you miss this, Tiff? Is this what you missed last week?
I feel like you might be like.
You said you missed him earlier.
Are you in your feelings about this?
Yeah, he's all upset because he does. He's realized that he's second fiddle to me
over here. That can't hold it together.
Everybody's guys are interchangeable each week. You know, you never know what mood I'm going to be in and who I'm going to like more. And so
there's a reason why I have a shirt and you don't. All right.
What?
Because you made
last
a shirt.
Night.
You made a
last
shirt.
Night. I'm sorry. This is.
No one came to you and said, we need these shirts.
It wasn't in demand. I mean,
oh, really? Well, they are in demand because yeah.
I noticed
they're...
you have sold four. I saw that. Good
no,
for you.
We have sold more than that. They're flying off the shelves.
Can't keep them.
They'll be as hot as No Fear anytime now. All right.
Right up there next to Billabong.
Last night, Billabong is a huge market, all right? So you might want to check yourself there.
You're buying them at Marshall's, TJ Maxx, you know, when you go in there.
We're not there yet, but that'd be nice.
I do love me some deals, but I'm just saying, that's where you're
choosing. The inaugural episode
end up.
Of Hard Knocks off-season with the New York Giants premiere last night. I loved it. I think this, look, as cool as Hard Knocks was when it first came out about the behind-the-scenes, it's stale. It's boring. It's all kind of... And I'm not saying this isn't done with complete control for the team of what they allow out there. But we don't get to see these conversations. All right? the access we had last night is things that most people never even hear a front office person say. Yeah, Tiffany's had private conversations that she'll never get into because that's how you get not back in those circles for those private conversations. I've had them. Mike, you've had them. You've been in them as a player with different ways. But we don't ever see that happening. And I thought it was so cool last night. New York Giants GM, who was basically the star of this last night. Everything focused around his time. He talked about how he got the job, is coming up with the Panthers as a scout. You know, it was obviously with Brandon Bean up in Buffalo. And, you know, they take a moment with him. They talk about his life, how he got there. But one of the main focuses was Saquon Barkley. And what are they going to do? And do they re-sign him? And they're going through the running backs, and they're breaking down these guys and what they bring, right? Like what this guy will bring to the table and what that guy will bring to the table. And at one point, John Mara was in there, the owner, and he was going through. But one of the best things that I heard was they're having a discussion, and one of the guys that in Joe Sean's office was like, well, what's the identity of our offense if we don't have and re-sign Saquon Barkley? And this quote was so good. Sean goes, well, we have to upgrade the offensive line. You're paying the guy $40 million, and it's not to hand the ball off to a $12 million running back. I mean, just absolutely nailed it. If you didn't know that this was what?
No, I'm saying that's a crazy quote.
Well, that's the guy he just signed to 3 more years. He's got 3 more years with him. Yeah. So, and he talked constantly about we got to have some security. One of the other really cool things is what did we tell you guys all offseason? Said a lot of these deals are made at events like the Combine, the Senior Bowl. And no one believes us, right? I told you guys that I guarantee you that the Falcons knew what Kirk Cousins wanted because of the way people have indirect conversations that are absolutely direct. And this right here happened between Sean, the Giants GM, and Dan Morgan, who's now the GM of the Panthers, about one Brian Burns.
You want to get us
COVID ones for Burns?
No. I mean, yes, but...
One and something.
You're heading in the right direction.
So if you can't make it out, Morgan goes, I'll take two ones for Brian Burns. And he's like, yeah. And he goes, or one and, you know, something else. And literally that was the start of the conversation.
There you go.
And where does Brian Burns end up?
New York.
I think the access for us, guys, if you really want to see how some of this stuff works, it is showing you without telling you everything. They also had it where the new defensive coordinator came in. And he's talking with the staff, the scouts, the GMs, all that, about what works and what players and type of players he wants in his defense. I mean, the access is pretty cool.
You sold me. I'm going to check it out tonight.
Done deal. All right, stick with us. We're going to find out what's coming up on the Steakhouse. That's next on The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 99 The Game. We got a life of squid on deck, but first, Atlanta United on the road taking on New England, and you could hear that right here on 92.9 The Game. Pre-game starts at 6:30, kickoff at 7:30. Our Mike Conti and Jason Longshore both on the call, and on that note, we bring in our Garrett Chapman with us, our resident Atlanta United expert. That's what we're calling you now.
I'll take that.
Don't let Abe hear that. He will get highly offended by that.
Thiago Almada expected to be on the move. The deal expected to be finalized for him to go to a Brazilian team. And so, Botafogo. And what would life be like now,
sad deal,
you know, without him?
It's going to be interesting. I mean, I want to see what the team really does look like without him. I mean, we've seen it a few times. And it's been a kind of a mixed bag. Jay Fortune, I mean, he's played pretty well in his absence at times, and then other times it's been I mean, not so great. I mean, the beautiful thing about Thiago Almada, and we talked about this on the full-time report on Saturday night, he really is probably one of the best players to come through Atlanta United. I mean, that includes Joseph Martinez. That includes Miguel Almiron. That includes, I mean, all the best players that this club has seen. And Thiago Almada is right up there with the very best of them. And Mike Conte said he's the most talented player in this club's history. And, like, whenever you lose somebody like that, it's going to hurt for a little while. I mean, it's going to be tough. But ultimately, like, this match on – or this match tonight – is against a beatable opponent. The real litmus test is going to be on Saturday against Real Salt Lake.
To your point, G, I look at this team right now, and it's just interesting because you come into the year with Almada and Giakoumakis and Pineda as the head coach, and this is a team that's really kind of had to remake its image. I'm not sure. I mean, what's the image of this team? Are they counter strikers? Are they a quick attack? Are they? I don't even know what the identity of this team really is right now, other than Brooks Lennon's kind of the leader and the guy that gets the most minutes. I mean, that's kind of what it is right now.
Yeah, I mean, Brooks Lennon's a great player. I mean, talk about an unsung hero of this team. Is he comes out every single match, and he just gives you the exact same performance every single match. But, look, I mean, identity of this team, I mean, like, this is still a strong possession-based team. It's a team that wants to get after you and score goals. They still create a lot of opportunities, and I don't think that's necessarily going to change too much, even in the absence of Thiago Almada and Yorgos Giakoumakis. But, I mean, it's interesting, to your point, Mike, this team came in here having scored 66 goals in 2023. They were a top-three team in terms of attacking play. Last year, this year, they're kind of an inverse too. Like, you know, like the defending has been very strong despite the fact that you've had five or six different center back pairings, you know, and this team is still very, very talented at just about every single position on the pitch. And I mean, that's a credit to Garth Lagerwey. It's a credit to what the team he's been able to put together. It's not all about one or two guys.
Obviously, Atlanta won't be favored tonight on the road, as most times they're not. But what are your expectations against New England?
Oh, to go get a win? I mean, or at least go get a road result. I mean, you've had this could be the fifth consecutive match under Rob Valentino that you go out and get a result. They're 2-0-2 under Valentino. And this is a New England team that had won four straight matches after having a dreadful first half of the season. They were at negative 17 goal differential still at this point. So, I mean, this is a team that you can beat, but they were a little banged up last week when they lost 5-1 to one of the best teams in MLS in Columbus Crew. I mean, this is a pretty talented team. Carlos Gil is one of the top central attacking midfielders in the league. So you got to take him out of this match. And ultimately, I think you can go up and get a result.
So what time tonight? Real quick.
6:30 pregame, 7:45 first kick.
All right.
No one listens to me.
Let's hit it, Day-Day.
Well, it's time for a look back
into the mind of Squid Billy.
Hey, he might even talk sports.
This is the Life of Squid on the Morning Shift.
Brought to you by the W Sauce and Status Truck and Trailer Repair. Driven by excellence, building successful partnerships.
Right, little W sauce. They got a hot sauce out now. You can use it on, maybe you decide you don't want ribs and you want wings instead. Use the hot sauce on that. Maybe you wake up tomorrow, you want a Bloody Mary mix. So you go over to WSauce.com. You get it Key West style. My friend Anthony at Status Truck and Trailer Repair. Big truck, small truck, medium sized truck. You want a fifth wheel? They got you covered. They do fifth wheels, Michael. So we're going
to. Did you miss this, Tiff? Is this what you missed last week?
I feel like you might be
said you missed him earlier.
Are you in your feelings about this?
Yeah, he's all upset because he's realized that he's second fiddle to me
over here that can't hold it together.
Everybody's guys are interchangeable each week. You know, you never know what mood I'm going to be in and who I'm going to like more. And so
there's a reason why I have a shirt and you don't. All right.
Because you made
last night. Last night. I'm sorry. This is.
No one came to you and said, we need these shirts.
It wasn't in demand. I mean,
oh, really? Well, they are in demand because yeah.
I noticed you have sold four. I saw that. Good
no,
for you.
We have sold more than that. They're flying off the shelves.
Can't keep them.
Nobody as hot as No Fear anytime now. All right.
Right up there next to Billabong.
Last night, Billabong is a huge market, all right? So you might want to check yourself there.
You're buying them at Marshall's, TJ Maxx, you know, when you go in there.
We're not there yet, but that'd be nice.
I do love me some deals, but I'm just saying, that's where you're
choosing. The inaugural episode
end up.
of Hard Knocks off season with the New York Giants premiere last night. I loved it. I think this, look, as cool as Hard Knocks was when it first came out about the behind the scenes, it's stale. It's boring. It's all kind of, and I'm not saying this isn't done with complete control for the team of what they allow out there, but we don't get to see these conversations, all right? The access we had last night is things that most people never even hear a front office person say. Yeah, Tiffany's had private conversations that she'll never get into because that's how you get not back in those circles for those private conversations. I've had them, Mike, you've had them. You've been in them as a player with different ways. But we don't ever see that happening. And I thought it was so cool last night. Joe Schoen, New York Giants GM, who was basically the star of this last night. Everything focused around his time. He talked about how he got the job, is coming up with the Panthers as a scout. You know, it was obviously with Brandon Bean up in Buffalo. And, you know, they take a moment with him. They talk about his life, how he got there. But one of the main focuses was Saquon Barkley. And what are they going to do? And do they re-sign him? And they're going through the running backs, and they're breaking down these guys and what they bring, right? Like what this guy will bring to the table and what that guy will bring to the table. And at one point, John Mara was in there, the owner, and he was going through. But one of the best things that I heard was they're having a discussion, and one of the guys that in Joe Schoen's office was like, well, what's the identity of our offense if we don't have and re-sign Saquon Barkley? And this quote was so good. Schoen goes, well, we have to upgrade the offensive line. You're paying the guy $40 million, and it's not to hand the ball off to a $12 million running back. I mean, just absolutely nailed it. If you didn't, wow. If you didn't know that this was what?
No, I'm saying that's a crazy quote.
Well, that's the guy he just signed to 3 more years. He's got 3 more years with him. Yeah. So, and he talked constantly about we got to have some security. One of the other really cool things is what did we tell you guys all offseason? Said a lot of these deals are made at events like the Combine,
yeah.
The Senior Bowl. And no one believes us, right? I told you guys that I guarantee you that the Falcons knew what Kirk Cousins wanted because of the way people have indirect conversations that are absolutely direct. And this right here happened between Schoen, the Giants GM, and Dan Morgan, who's now the GM of the Panthers, about one Brian Burns.
You want to get us
some COVID ones for friends?
No. I mean, yes, but...
something.
You're heading in the right direction.
So if you can't make it out, Morgan goes, I'll take 2 ones for Brian Burns. And he's like, yeah. And he goes, or one and, you know, something else. And literally that was the start of the conversation. And where does Brian Burns end up?
New York.
I think the access for us guys, if you really want to see how some of this stuff works, it is showing cool. You without telling you everything. They also had it where the new defensive coordinator came in. And he's talking with the staff, the scouts, the GMs, all that, about what works and what players and type of players he wants in his defense. I mean, the access is pretty cool.
You sold me. I'm going to check it out tonight.
Done deal. All right, stick with us. We're going to find out what's coming up on the Steakhouse. That's next on The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 99 The Game.